Welcome everyone to the 2026 Yukon River In-Season Salmon Management Teleconference Season. We greatly appreciate you taking the time to join us as we begin another important season of discussions surrounding the management and future of Yukon River salmon. My name is Mike McIntyre, Communications Manager for the Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association. It is my pleasure to serve you as your host throughout this teleconference season. Serena is out right now, and she just got back from educational exchange. These calls will be held every Tuesday from June through the end of August. Throughout the season, we will provide updates on the Yukon River salmon run assessments, environmental conditions, research, and monitoring efforts, and ongoing management activities. I would like to extend a warm welcome to all new participants joining us today. We also encourage young fishers to participate in these calls to learn, engage, and become involved in Yukon River fisheries issues and management. These teleconferences provide an important opportunity for people from across the Yukon River to share observations, concerns, and local conditions. We encourage fishermen, tribal representatives, researchers, managers, and community members to actively participate. Your knowledge and experience help build a broader understanding of the challenges facing our salmon and river communities. We would like to thank our funding partners, the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission and Tanana Chiefs Conference, for their continued support in making these calls possible. For many years, these teleconferences have served as a communication bridge between local users and fishery managers across the 2,200 miles of the Yukon River. As salmon declines and changing river conditions continue to affect our communities, the need for open communication remains critical. However, the challenges we face today require more than information sharing alone. They require collaboration, problem solving, and action. Our goal is to ensure these calls remain a platform for meaningful discussion, actionable feedback, and collaborative solutions that can be shared with management agencies, organizations, and decision makers. By working together, we can identify practical opportunities to improve fisheries management and support the long-term health of Yukon River salmon. As we move through the 2026 season, I ask that all participants be respectful of one another. This is a space for constructive dialogue and shared learning. By listening to and supporting one another, we can foster productive conversations that benefit our fisheries and communities. Brianna, for your time, participation, and commitment to the Yukon River. The Yurtfa In-Season Subsistence Salmon Survey is currently getting started. We thank the National Park Service and NOAA for funding the program this year. This year, the surveyors are utilizing a digital app version of the program and hope to make it available to the public soon. We will update you when it is ready to download from the App Store. We want to encourage fishers in the in-season salmon communities to reach out to their local surveyor and share what they are seeing on the river. This program is a way for fishers to anonymously share their observations as well as their concerns or challenges with the managers and the rest of the river. The in-season survey communities include Olakanuk, Mountain Village, Marshall, Russian Mission, Anvik, Huslia, Ruby, Tanana, Fort Yukon, and Eagle. Just some housekeeping before we get started. Please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. If you are using the mute feature on your mobile device, you will still need to press star 6 to mute and unmute. Background noise and conversations are disruptive to callers who are sharing important information. Okay, let's get started. Is there any media on the line? Please announce yourself. Do we have any of our government representatives or staff members on the call today? Please announce yourselves.
This is Mike Wood on the Alaska Board of Fisheries.
Good afternoon, Mike. Okay, let's get started with the Yukon Area Manager from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Please introduce yourselves and give your reports.
Yeah, hi, Mike. This is Gina John with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Yukon River Summer Season Fishery Manager. We haven't put out, we're still working on putting out the weekly update announcement, but folks may have just seen that the announcement was just published for the lower Yukon, and it's got a lot of the same information in the preamble, but we've got some kind of good news in that the summer chum run is coming in better than we were expecting to this season. It looks like the run is either normal to on time or normal to late timing, but as of June 29th, they estimated over 330,000 summer chum at pilot station sonar. So that means that if this is the midpoint of the run for normal timing, that we're anticipating having a run that'll exceed 650,000 fish and that there'll be enough for fishing for subsistence with selective gear types. And so we put out an announcement announcing that in the coast in districts 1, 2, and 3, you can start fishing with dip nets at 6 p.m. tonight and can retain summer chum salmon. The Chinook salmon run continues to remain below average, and it's still not expected to meet any goals. So it's very important that when folks are out fishing that they continue to let Chinook salmon go alive. We still have a lot of concerns for that run, so we definitely want to see as many get upriver as possible. And then also in most of the river, we've announced the closures of 4-inch or less mesh gill nets. Those have all had to be taken out of the water for 18-day period in each district. So down in District 1 and the coast, those 4-inch nets can go back in the water, but just keep in mind that those have still got to be restricted to 60 feet or less in length, 4-inch or less mesh, and they must be operated as a set net near shore. So if you're fishing with your 4-inch nets, they should be set in traditional knowledge areas where you know you're just going to be targeting non-salmon. They're not meant to be a salmon gear. They're supposed to be operated, within 100 feet or less of shore. So you're just targeting those non-salmonous fish that are going by the bank. But to get summertime salmon, which are looking a lot better, those opportunities of selective gear are starting up this evening in the coast in districts 1, 2, and 3. There'll be announcements later on this week announcing the dates for when the bulk of the summertime salmon run is going to be getting further upriver and when those openings will be taking place in districts 4 and the lower part of district 5. Unfortunately, because Subdistrict 5D doesn't get summer chum, they don't travel that far upriver. Those summer chum dip net opportunities won't be available for that part of the river. And that is definitely unfortunate, but there are a lot of folks down here in the lower river who I imagine will be pretty happy to have some opportunity and some fresh fish and start filling up their freezers kind of before we get higher gas prices and everything else going on down in the lower river. The last time we opened up fishing with selective gear for summer chum was in 2024, and the harvest was around 30,000. I anticipate the harvest this year to be similar in size. We are starting a bit later than we did in 2024 because it took a little bit longer for this run to shape up and have a good, strong projection showing that we're going to meet the goal. And then also this year, you may notice that those summer chum opportunities have an end date. They will end at the start of fall season. And fall season is starting 3 days earlier than is usual because fall chum salmon are a stock of management concern. And new regulations were added to the fall season, fall chum management plan, requiring that the fall season management start 3 days early. So those opportunities for summer chum, we've got kind of limited time. Hopefully folks will have enough time and enough weather to get out and at least get a few summer chum salmon for the freezers and for the smokehouses. That's about all I've got for management. I'll certainly be on for the rest of the call if folks have questions or comments or want clarification. But I'll turn it over to Fred to dig in a little bit more on the assessment numbers for the summer season. Thanks.
Hi, this is Fred. Can you hear me?
Hi, Ken.
Okay, thanks. This is Fred West, the summer season research biologist and for Fish and Game. And yeah, Dina gave a pretty good rundown of what the status of the runs for both summer chum and Chinook are currently. So I'll just kind of provide some numbers from different assessment projects. So we have the Lower River test fishery based out of Ammonic for, and they're test fishing for chum. And Right now, their cumulative CPUE is about 927, which is below the historical average of 2031. So those numbers are below average, which kind of coincides with the below average run at Pilot. But it is encouraging. We have seen, you know, pulses of fish down at LYTF, and they're heading up to Pilot. So the numbers at Pilot should increase. So that's good news. For specific numbers for Pilot station sonar, as of the 29th, we have 330,000 plus or minus about 27,000 summer chum, which is below the historical median of 868,000. For shrimp salmon, the passage currently is 75,653, and that's plus or minus 16,000. And that is also below the historical cumulative average of 113,000. Let's see here. There'll be some updated charts in the update to where kind of plotting where we think we are in the run compared to other years. So that will be in there for both summer chum and Chinook. And so for ANVIC sonar, that project's been operating since June 16th, and they're up to 4,653, and plus minus 250-ish, which is, they're also below the median of about 33,000, so below average. And there's an update on the telemetry project. They were able to tag their first fish on the 25th of June, and they've been successfully tagging fish, and they're releasing them to move up river. So, so there'll be more information about that as the run progresses, but, just to let folks know that there are tags in the river, above rapids. So. And if you have any questions about that, you can call Josh Clark at 907-267-2217 or myself at 907-267-2237. And we do have some updated age composition data for both Chinook and Summer Chum, and this is what will be in the update that will be released, and we'll also have some updated information on the stock comp for summer chum. As a reminder, we will not have in-season stock composition for snook, but we do for summer chum. And my understanding is, like, the Eagle sonar is on site getting camp set up, so they hopefully will be operational in the next couple days. And same with the Sheena and Salta Towers, those should be, but I think the folks will be on site in the near future setting those camps up. So, so we'll get some more assessment data from those projects soon. But, I'll be also online if anybody has any questions. So, thanks.
Thank you, Dina and Fred. Do we have any Yukon area managers from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife? Please introduce yourself.
Hey, Mike. This is Holly Carroll with Fish and Wildlife Service. And Holly. I just wanted to follow up with a couple of things. We're really just so excited to see that the Chinook are coming in okay, better than the last couple of years. But we're really excited that the summer chum goals are projected to be met and exceeded. We're excited to be able to provide this fishing. I realize it's not as efficient as fishing with gill nets, and dip nets are going to be challenging, and the weather might not be perfect, but I've already gotten so many calls today with people thanking the managers for this, and I that means a lot. And hearing someone cry with joy is the reason we do this job. And it helps us get through the hard parts. But what I wanted to say is that it's to thank yourselves, the fishermen who have been standing down on these salmon harvests for 5 years. You know, you're complying with the closures. You're doing what's right, and you're watching the fish go by. And I know that's really hard. And if we keep doing that work, we might get to keep fishing these runs, you know. And so I just want us to enjoy this moment of hope. And I also just want to thank everyone who has been sacrificing and doing all this hard conservation work in river. Our work is not over. We still need to be cautious. We need to protect the runs that are not doing as well, like the Kings and possibly the Fall Chum. And so, yeah, thanks for just pivoting and adapting and the hard sacrifices to all the fishermen out there. And I do hope that we see some summer chum full smokehouses soon. So with that, I'll just stand by for questions for later.
Do we have anybody from the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada?
One. Yeah, hello. Adam Odell here. I'm the senior fisheries biologist with Fisheries and Oceans Canada in Whitehorse. So my colleague Jacqueline is away today, so she's not able to provide the management update, but I have a very brief summary I can share that she provided for me. So a little bit of change from the subsequent weeks here. We are starting to get a little bit closer and some projects are coming online. Our staff have been in Old Crow, mobilizing the sonar camp on the Porcupine River, just downstream of Old Crow. And they've had the sonar now running for a couple of days and I think 4 days so far. And they've had 8 fish past the site to date. So starting to trickle in there. I was up there on the weekend for a meeting, and it's been quite warm up in Old Crow, and the water temperature was about 19 degrees on Saturday, which is extremely high, as we all know. But I think cooler weather's moved in there, and it's started to drop again. It's maybe around 14 or 15 degrees today. We also have some staff out at Eagle. As Fred was saying, the sonar sighted eagle should be up and running in a couple days here, and we have a couple staff supporting this program again this year, and they're on site helping mobilize the camp and getting things operational. So we'll wait to hear what the passage results are in Eagle. And then if there's any Yukon First Nations managers who are online who want to speak to any of their projects, by all means. Maybe I'll pause for a brief moment, or if they want to cut me off if I proceed, feel free, but there might be some updates that they want to provide right now. And if not, I have just a couple things to say. Okay, yeah, I'll proceed. So there's a number of assessment projects that Yukon First Nations operate in Canada here. This year is no different. There's a new sonar project going on Stewart River this season, and I believe they are setting that up at the moment, maybe beginning yesterday or today. So that should be up and running hopefully in the very near future, and we'll be seeing some updates provided. The Klondike River, they've had the sonar on the Klondike running for about 5 days right now, so they got a bit of an early start there, and I just heard that it seems like they have their first fish passed potentially on the 26th. But still quite early. I think that one's just unconfirmed as well. And in addition, there's a number of other projects that will be coming online, probably in the next week or two, and as well as just throughout the season, and some of these upper river projects coming in early August. So we'll just continue to get updates on those as they're available, and I'll be pleased to share those as they're available and if needed, if there's no other folks online who are able to provide those updates. We also have a number of radio telemetry towers going out this year and aerial surveys planned to track these tagged fish that Fred was talking about as they enter Canada. So we have a staff member out there right now, a couple of them setting up the last few towers, and And some of these are working with Yukon First Nations on some settlement lands and some locations which were selected a couple of years ago with their guidance. And we'll just continue to track those and collect data on these fish as they move into their spawning areas. So I touched on a little bit of an environmental update. I don't have a whole lot more to say there. Things have shifted. It's a little bit more cool throughout the territory in general. As of late, water levels continue to rise, but nothing threatening. That we saw some warnings earlier in the season, but the Yukon River itself does seem to be rising quite rapidly, maybe over the past couple of weeks, and it's noticeably higher than it had been earlier in the season when we were still seeing a bit of a cooler spring. So I'll just transition to a quick management update. Essentially, there's no new management actions to report since last week. So the low preliminary Canadian origin Chinook forecast that led to public angling fisheries in Canada being closed for the season, as well as closures in the commercial and domestic fisheries, which remain in effect. And then in our in-season series of intergovernmental meetings, we hold these every year between Fisheries and Oceans Canada and Yukon First Nation government representatives, as well as Yukon Salmon subcommittee members. They've begun, and information sharing on various assessment projects is underway, or planning to be underway at least, and starting to occur for this season. So that's what I have to share. I'll stay online here for a little bit if there's any questions, but yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Adam. I'll switch over to the organizations. Is there anybody from Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission that wants to give a report?
Can't hear you, Jim.
Can you hear me?
Can't hear you, Jim. You're on.
I'm sorry about that.
Yes, this is Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, this is Jim Simon and Olivia Irwin, Chief Charlie Wright from the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission. We're in Nenana at a training to develop a culture camp and community-based monitoring program at Fish Lake. And we have nothing specific to report. We did appreciate our expediently scheduled meeting with the federal in-season management team yesterday afternoon, about the opening now with the selective gear. We did share our concerns, which I think were largely alleviated, about ensuring that escapement can be met and with the anticipated relatively low harvest potential, that it's not going to make or break, and looks like the numbers keep supporting a good return of summer chum this year, which is we're so grateful for. Olivia?
Yeah, thanks so much, Jim. And just want to also let folks know that as announcements continue to roll out, the Fish Commission is continuing to share out U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and ADF&G fishery announcements. So if you are not subscribed to receive those, you can receive them through the Fish Commission communications, as well as for those of you who have any questions about the educational fishery permit, we're going to be soon sharing out some messaging around that. So to help folks understand how to access that if they so choose. And also just want to remind folks that as they continue to apply for those permits or host camps, that ensure you're reporting your harvest and carrying your permit with you so that there's no issues in case a trooper was to approach you. So I think that's all we had today. If there's any other Fish Commission staff online, please feel free to unmute, but that's all for us today. Thanks so much, Mike.
Olivia? Okay, so is there anybody else for Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission? Okay, we'll move on to, is there anybody from North Pacific Fisheries Management on the line? Okay. Anyone from BBAYK? Anybody from the Council of Yukon First Nations? Canada?
Can you
anybody
hear
me? Yes.
Okay. It's Elizabeth from the Yukon First Nations Silent Stewardship Alliance, which is supported by the Council of Yukon First Nations. Sir, I haven't been able to make much calls. We've been very busy with preseason meetings the last little while, and last week we had the CYFN General Assembly in the Kwani Lake area. Most folks here are just getting excited about Canada Day tomorrow, but also because it's usually around the same time that the first Chinook cross the border, and it sounds like what Adam shared, they might already be in the Dawson City area, which is great. And I did want to share a win. Just today got an email announcing that Yukon River Chinook were listed as a major stock under the Fisheries Act on our side, and this gives them some additional protections and some more requirements kind of around DFO and doing a rebuilding plan and managing them a little bit different. So that's really good news. I've also got quite a few messages from folks who are happy to see the Chinook Council pilot being seen it as like a payoff for all the sacrifices they've been making, and kind of acknowledging that we should be celebrating a little bit, but also those reminders that we're not there yet and we need a few good years and those kind of sentiments as well. But a lot of people just really focusing on the good news. And then this week we're co-hosting with Teslin Tlingit Council an annual salmon ceremony gathering in Teslin for Friday and Saturday. It's going to be modeled after a fish camp. So we're going to have a bunch of smoking of fish and netting freshwater fish out of the lake. We're fortunate that it's well before there's any Chinook in this area, so it's a safe activity to be doing. We're going to get some salmon from a different watershed from Taku River and have those as well for smoking from sockeye. And there's going to be beaver skinning, maybe smoking some beaver meat, doing medicinal plants, jams, a whole bunch of like kind of activities that would happen during fish camp. So looking forward to that, and that'll be the next couple of days. I think that's kind of all I got for updates, so thanks.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Give a brief, or is there anybody from Yukon Salmon Subcommittee on the line who would like to give a report?
Yeah, hello, it's Dennis Zimmerman from the Yukon Salmon Subcommittee.
Oh, Dennis.
Yeah, hi. Great to hear Elizabeth, and it's my first call this year as well. We are just happy to support the education exchange, which saw a number of Yukoners heading along the river, and they sound looks like they've had a great time. We haven't heard back from them yet, but thanks for your hospitality. And we're spending a lot of our efforts right now working on the domestic rebuilding plan for Yukon River Chinook, so in Canada. So we're trying to develop an implementation plan that works at the community level, and we can use all the way up through to the panel, and hopefully it aligns with the international rebuilding plan. We've got lots of work behind that, and now we're trying to make it something that can be of use at the community level. Otherwise, we look forward to participating in these calls, and we're still having to purchase fish and, you know, trying to obviously do our part as well and conserve as much as we can to ensure we get those Chinook coming into the future. So thank you.
Dennis? I'd like to give her a small report. Serena is not here at the moment. She's heading back, and she was on the educational exchange, traveling to Imam St. Mary's and Pause Station from July 23rd to the 29th. So hopefully we'll hear back from her next week on the teleconference. I'd like to switch over to the committee level reports. I'll call by district. Not really sure where it started from last week, but I'll start from the coastal communities. Is there anybody from Chivac, Hooper Bay, and Scammon Bay on the line that would like to give a report? To mute and unmute, press star 6 if you have something to report. I'll switch off to District Y1, the communities of Nunamikpa, Alakanak, Imaak, and Kotlik. Is there anybody from these communities that would like to give a report? And again, press star 6 to mute and unmute.
Hey, Mike, this is Marvin.
Hey, Marvin.
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, this is Marvin from Kotlik Village Report. We've been having some good, decent tides lately. With fish coming in with this weather and the winds. As usual, I don't know of anyone setting 3.5-inch nets or 4-inch nets where it's in the off streams in the area, even though it was closed, I guess. But Kotlik River here goes all the way to the lake, so I haven't heard anybody doing that, or besides a few people that were able to go up north to Point Romanoff and beyond, where it's open in the Norton Sound District, and there was some families that are done fishing already from catching their, fulfilling their needs from up there. Some people were not with their sets that were very slow. Some people kept 2 to 4 kings and about a dozen chums, which is slow. Let's see. And just notice that we're finally having a fisheries opening with restricted gear, which I know everyone decided to go about and go do that, go try their luck with dip nets. But one thing I noticed that has me concerned is why Fish and Game hasn't updated their test catches the last 4 days. We know why, but they're just not publishing it. So we know there's fish coming into the river. We always notice, we live here, we know when the fish are coming in, so Fish and Game needs to stop hiding what they're catching out there. It's common sense for the locals that they're always hiding what the big numbers when they come in. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Marvin.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, my name is Darlene Pete. I'm the tribal administrator for Native Village of Nunamikwa. I just wanted to note that our tribal council is in full support of the subsistence openers. Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't catch the end of it there. Is there anybody else from District Y1? Okay, we'll switch over to District Y2, the communities of Mountain Village, Pitkus Point, St. Mary's, Pile Station, and Marshall. Is there anybody from these communities that would like to give a report?
Hi, this is Nika from Mountain Village. I spoke to a couple of fishermen, and they haven't fished yet. And the water's been coming up a lot yesterday. There's barely any drift in the river. I think people are looking forward to the fishing this evening with selective care. Thank you.
Thank you for your report, Nita. Anybody else from District Y2?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Nick from the Monica. Can somebody hear me?
I can hear you.
That's good. Yeah, I finally got on. I've been trying to get on. If I may, with the general public, first of all, I want to thank everyone working together among for the new people, the interim board of YORTFA that we started back in 1990. And we've seen everything developing since then. But I do appreciate the openings that we are going to get today. There hasn't been anything since 2020. And for myself, I just want the new people to know that starting 1945, I was saved by fish broth at 5 months old. My mother died, and I survived by fish broth. So my whole life is entirely dependent on the way as I am today from being saved by fish, and that's very important to me. Last year, I did not get one king salmon, one summer chum, one fall chum, and one coho. So this year means a lot to my 73-year-old wife and I will be 81 in a couple of months. So we need that for the winter. And for everyone working together, you will note that since for the last 5 years with no commercial fishing, the villages on the lower Yukon used to depend on vessels and gear and parts and new motors and everything. We don't have that anymore. We don't have the commercial fishing to uphold the subsistence. So not many people are going to be going out doing subsistence. And gasoline, many people may get together and maybe one or two families get together and get gasoline and they don't have the parts and the equipment like they used to. So there's a lot on the side of conservation here, even as we suffer here, that we contribute to the preservation of these resources. So we appreciate the opportunity that we're going to be able to get something for the winter. Thank you, everybody.
I didn't get your name in your community. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, name is Nicholas C. Tucker Jr. from Imanga, Alaska. I live in District 1 and former member of the interim board on YORTFA. And I'm a lifetime fisherman for commercial and subsistence, even though we haven't had any commercial for about 7-8 years. So basically, that's my introduction.
Thank you for your report, Nick.
Yeah, and I thank everybody that your ability to continue to work together since 1990 and understanding each other.
Thank you, Nick. So, is there anyone from District Y2 that would like to give a report?
Good afternoon, Mike. This is Stan Slaschep with Mountain Village.
Hey, Stan Slaschep.
Yes, weather's been kind of chilly, raining off and on here, overcast. Water since the other day has been rising. Not really that much. I was told that when the water comes up like this, it's due to the amount of fish coming in, passing up river here. Haven't seen any subsistence nets out for it since the closure. And I'm trying to get the word out to the majority of the people here that subsistence is going to be on for 24 hours with selective gear. And I think the departments for allowing us and managers to at least trying to get some kind of family to put in a freezer or put up in a smokehouse. Thank you very much, Mike.
Is there anybody else from District Y2? If you are unmuted, please press star 6 to unmute and unmute.
Mike? Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, Francis Thompson, St. Mary's. Yeah, it's been cold, a lot of Gunnachuck winds, southwest, south, southerly, northwest, lately. Cold weather down here. And I haven't heard about folks hitting their 4-inch after the closure. And this morning, we got word on Facebook, the announcement for the for federal waters being open tonight starting at 6 with dip net selective gear other than nets, steel nets. I immediately got on the VHF radio and I made a public announcement for whoever can hear about the opener, the selectivity of the gear to be used, and I expressed to those going out that we need to release Chinook or the king salmon and help them rebound. And I made mention that we have this opportunity to subsistence fish, and let's be part of the efforts to conserve Chinook and release them when they pick them up in their dip nets. And I highlighted that if the Department of Fish and Wildlife and Alaska Department of Fish and Game hear that we're retaining king salmon when we should be letting them go, that they will shut the fishery down. I expressed that sincerely to the folks out there and to adhere to the announcement. So I would like to thank Holly and all the folks, ADF&G, for the opener. A lot of people are happy, and I would like to say that for 2025, today is a historic day for all of us down here. A historic being that, you know, the opener for folks to practice what they've practiced for millennia, to have that opportunity to cut fish and put some away for the winter. They're very, I don't know how to express their gratitude, but to say for this opportunity. And you know, which everybody suffered to release kings. You know, I told him that we'll be part of the conservation. So the announcement's been made for conservation, and announcement's been made to push some, but to take care of them. So thank you, Guyana. And one question I had was, I know we're on projections right now, and as the days go by, we'll be getting into reality of what's coming in the river. And if things are not looking good in terms of coming at meeting at least the escapement goal, 500,000, how would they decide to continue or discontinue the opportunity for a dipnet opener? I don't know how to pose the question, but I hope somebody's thinking what I'm trying to say here.
Hi, friend. This is Dina John with Fishing Game. Okay, were you asking about the summer chum fishing opportunity?
Yes.
Yeah, so that'll open up 6 p.m. in districts 1 and 2 and 3, and then it'll end. And so it's going to end at 11:59 p.m. Wednesday, July 15th in district 2. And that's when the early start of the fall season. So that's to protect those early fall chum that are coming in. So in district 3, it'll be those dates and times. And then district 1, it'll open 6 p.m. today until 11:59 p.m. Sunday, July 12th. Then at that point, it's just kind of stand by and see if the fall chum run comes in. You know, we'll see if the summer chum is a happy indicator for fall chum, but because the fall chum forecast is so low and that species is a stock and management concern, that's when retention of chum salmon will have to end in selective gear types.
Oh, yeah, the question I was raising was for summer chum.
If
the projection's not there, how would a determination be made to either continue the opener or discontinue?
So for summer chum, we're probably at or maybe a little bit before the midpoint of the run. And so it looks like the summer chum run is going to be more than 500,000. And so that's why we're allowing this opportunity for the remainder of the summer chum season, for the remainder of the summer run. And so really it just ends because that's the start of fall season, and the fall chum have different concerns, and we ought to wait and see what their run looks like.
So we'll all have confidence that July 12th is the last day for chum fishing.
Yes. Yep. You have to stop retaining chum at that date. And then folks will just have to stay tuned to see how the fall season shapes up and see if the fall chum, you know, hopefully they come in better than it do, but we really got to wait and see for those guys.
Okay. Yes. Great. I'll pass that message on, because there were some questions about the continuation of the opener, if there was something that would pull it back, and then we have to sit down again, stand down.
There is that stand down. So retention of chum has to end, you know, it ends 11:59 p.m. Wednesday, July 15th, and that's because that's when fall chum season would start. Because of the decision made at the Board of Fish, fall season actually is going to start 3 days earlier, and that's to protect those early fall chum that are coming in, mixed in with the summer chum run. And so that's kind of an additional conservation measure that the Board of Fish put in this last cycle.
Okay, great. Yeah. Okay, I'd like to reiterate again the opportunity for Guyana Chukchuk, Fish and Wildlife, and Alaska Department of Fish and Game, Guyana.
Thank you, Francis, and thank you for Tina for answering that. Is there anybody else from District Y2, Communities of Mountain Village, Pictus Point, St. Mary's, Powell Station, Marshall on the line that would like to give a report? Okay, Okay, I'll switch over to District Y3, the communities of Russian Mission, Holy Cross, and Shagluk. Is there anybody online who would like to give a report? And if you are online and would like to speak, press star 6 to mute and unmute your line.
Yeah, good afternoon. This is David Walker in Holy Cross.
Hello, David.
Hey, I don't have much to report. I do know one fisherman was getting a few whitefish, but he had an accident. He had to quit, but the water has been raising slow. I didn't notice much debris out there yet, but and it's been cold mornings, cool mornings, I should say, about 45 in the morning, and yeah, there's a lot of mosquitoes, a lot of cotton flying, a lot of signs that we usually see when there's a lot of fish, but apparently there's not enough fish yet. But it's good to hear we're going to have opportunity to catch a few chums. You know, a lot of different entities, and since our fishing went south, been contributing, and I'm not saying I don't appreciate it, but it's a lot of pork with fat, and I, for one, just I appreciate everything, but still, it's not our food, and I could feel it. I just had leftover tacos right now, and normally I'd be having some half-dry, we call it guinovage. We boil with potatoes and it's a positive change. It's the best news I heard in quite a few years, or I guess it was in 2024, but, you know, those 2 years is a long 2 years without any fishing at all, so I thank all the workers, all the test net fishers, and our managers, and most of all the fishers that continue to adhere to the fishing restriction laws. Recently, my sister-in-law sent a box of fish to us from Sitka, and we treasured those meals we had with that, and I was thinking about it after I ate the next day. I feel really good. No indigestion or anything else going on. Just feel really good about eating our food. So I imagine what the communities go through, and I could see it firsthand here. It's more of a comment than a report. Thank you very much. That's about all I have now. I don't know what happened to all your official reporters, but you know, I don't take temperature of the water and stuff. I know the water's a little warmer than the air this morning, so thank you.
Thank you, David. Is there anybody from District Y3, communities of Russian Mission, Holy Cross, and Shagluk? Press star 6 to unmute and unmute your line.
I'm sorry, just do it again. I didn't really hear the schedule for, I know it opened at 6 tonight, but what would be the date that would close for Holy Cross for chum selective gear?
Anybody want to answer that?
For a Y3.
Did anybody want to answer that from ADS and GE?
I'm sorry, this is the end of fishing game. My connection cut out for a second. What was the question again, David?
Yeah, I know it opened at 6 tonight, but I was wondering how the duration would open, when does it close?
Yeah, so in District 3, it'll open 6 p.m. today until 11:59 p.m. Friday, July 17th. In District 3. Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep, and those dates of closures in each district will be based on kind of the normal fall timing when fall chum arrive in each district, but then 3 days earlier to protect all those early fall chum coming in.
Okay, copy. Thank you.
Thank you, Dina. Anybody else from District Y3? Communities of Russian Mission, Holy Cross, and Shagluk that want to give a report today? Okay, we'll move on to District Y4A, communities of Anvik, Grayling, Kaltag, Mulato, and Koyukuk. Please press star 6 to meet them in the your line.
Hey, Mike, this is Matthew at your... I got to jump ahead to Y5 because I got to get off the call. This is a report from Stan Zaray at Rapids. He says the water rose somewhat and caused a fair amount of drift. Height is almost up to the willows on the bank now. As of this morning, there are 4 fish camps from Tanana to above Rampart Rapids that have 1 or some people in them with 2 fishing the small nets, and some are planning on going back to town in a few days. Sorry I had to jump ahead up there, but just wanted to get that report in before I get off this call. Thank you.
Good day.
Thank you. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
This is Sandra Kuznikov from Russian Mission. I just want to say thank you for letting us open with dip netting. We are really craving for fish, we went. The hospital and people are wondering how come us natives are getting sick. I'm an elder, and I say we are getting sick because we don't eat our regular food anymore. We eat food which we get from the store, and it's really getting hard to get those stuff along with our meat, trying to conserve our moose meat, what we got. And we need to get a little opening somewhere, and today I hear we can dip net on the river for chums. I'm so happy to hear that. And will it close tomorrow, or how long will it be open? No. Maybe we cut off.
We can still hear you.
Oh, good.
Yes. So sorry. This is Mike Parker. Sorry, this is Mike Parker in the Monic. And it sounds like you're in District 3, and that will stay
yeah,
open.
Yeah, I'm from Russian Mission. Yes, I'm from Russian Mission.
And you'll be open until Friday, July 17th. For summertime pink.
July 17th, with no closing from tonight till July 17th?
That's correct.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty good. Guyana Chaknach. I really want to see if we can get a chum for our table, even for drying, I hope, if we're not too late. Thank you very much for the people, for my community. Guyana. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you.
Alessandro. Is there anybody from District Y4A that would like to give a report? Communities of Ambic, Grayling, Caltag,
Delano. Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi, this is Nathan Ellswick in Ambic. Don't really have a report, but I do have a couple of questions. Hearing that District 3 is going to be opening tonight, when can we expect 4A lower to open? Would it be a couple of days, do you think?
Hi, yeah, this is Deanne John, Fishing Game. You can stand by for an announcement. We'll put one out. I think we've got one drafted to put out tomorrow, just so that we can. We're looking at when summer chum are going to get up to District 4. They do swim slower than kings, and so we're looking at timing when the kind of big groups of fish are going to be there. But, yeah, just stand by for an announcement later this week. And once we put out the announcements, it'll get posted on Facebook, and we update the phone recording so you can call the toll-free number and get updates for your area. And then they also get sent out on the radio as well. And then with also the Intertribal Fish Commission, they're doing some additional outreach, it sounds like.
Okay, I guess my next question is on the fish whales being fish-friendly. Is there any evidence or proof out there that using the type of webbing you guys are wanting us to use and putting foam on the shoots are going to protect salmon? Do you guys have any evidence or proof of that?
A lot of the fish wheels, this is Deanna with Fishing Game, so a lot of the fish wheel stuff kind of came from fishermen themselves. These are requirements that were put in place in the commercial fish wheels quite a long time ago. And so they were kind of recommended by fishermen as ways that they saw to modify their wheels to help, you know, get the target species and let kings go without being harmed. It's certainly hard to verify, to follow up on that. You'd have to handle the fish and then tag them and try to estimate, you know, survival later upriver. But those are measures that the fishermen really recommended to the department to put in place to help make those wheels a little bit better. You figure anything's got to be better than rusty chicken wire and a plywood chute with nails and screws sticking out. So it's just to try to protect the fish, kind of help them protect them from bumps and bruises and cuts, and help preserve their slime coating so that if it is a king, it can get to that chute and then just immediately go back into the river without getting injured.
Yeah, it would have been nice to have those fish-friendly regulations in place before a lot of people started building their fish wheels, because now a lot of people got to go back and make those modifications. So just wanted to point that out. And when there used to be fishing back in the late 90s, I used to man fish wheels all the time, and I don't remember when we used to throw the fish back, the males and stuff, direct as soon as we caught them. I don't remember ever seeing fish injured, so. Just wanted to point that out, but anyways, thank you, and I look forward to the opportunity to catch a few fish.
Yeah, and thanks for that. This is Deep Down again. And those regulations, they've been in place for the commercial wheels for a long time, but they were just passed at this last AYK Board of Fish session and were just finalized very recently. You know, so the other option would have been to wait and not allow fish wheels until next season, but we really hope that folks either have their wheels already modified, you know, that they saw the proposal, saw some of the actions, or had taken proactive actions, or have got a little bit of time to wheels if they are planning on using them this season.
Thank you, Nathan, for giving your report. And Dina, is there anybody else from District Y4A that would like to give a report? Communities of Ambic, Grayling, Caltag, Nulato, and Koyukuk. Now, if you're muted, please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. If no one else, we'll move on to the Koyukuk River. Communities of Husria, Hughes, Alakakit, Alapna, and Bettles. Is there anybody that would like to give a report from those communities?
Hello.
Hello, this is Charlene Benton Huslia.
Hey, Charlene.
I don't have any surveys done, as we just got done with the memorial potlatch, and a lot of our community is working right now, so hopefully I'll have more to report next week.
Thank you, Shirley. Is there anybody else from the communities of Huskia, Hughes, Alcock, Alatna, and Bettles that would like to give a report?
I was very bent out just listening in. I just listened to all the comments. That's all I had, thanks. From Huskia.
Joe? Anybody else from the Koyukuk River that would like to give a report?
Hi, this
I'll
is
switch.
Jasmine Brown.
Hey, Jasmine.
Oh, hey. Hey, I'm not in Huskia, but my younger cousin told me that they got two whitefish on rod and reel. But other than that, no report.
Thank you for that. Jasmine? We'll switch over to District Y4A and C, communities of Galena and Ruby. Is there anybody who would like to do a report from those communities? I'm going to switch over to District Y5A and B, communities of Tanana, Tanana Rapids, Rampart, Yukon River Bridge. Anybody who would like to give a report from those communities?
Hi, this is Jeffrey Grumpy from Yukon River Bridge. We've seen a few folks setting the net. And what's been communicated to me is that they've been catching, there have been a couple of kings seen in the nets, all of which have been let go as they were still alive when they were found. There were a couple of chums that also made it this far, dead in the net though, so kept. I've heard of whitefish being caught, but fewer than the last few years, and they've all said that they were smaller. The water's been high most of the summer here at the bridge, and it's still rising just a little bit after the rains this last weekend. It's been very hot until that winter weekend storm, and now it's been much cooler. Most of the summer, the wind's been coming mostly from the south, but now in the last few days, cooler winds been coming from the west and southwest. We've also seen many more paddlers this year, starting from Dawson, Whitehorse, with plans to go all the way to the mouth, and actually many more paddlers this year than I've seen in since pre-COVID. So far, I've counted 32 paddlers that passed through and stopped in at the bridge, whereas usually we've seen less than 10 per year since COVID. Many of these paddlers are seeing our public notices about the fish runs, and quite a few have also communicated an interest in participating as like observers or any way that they possibly can. There was a few who I think had attempted to reach out over the last couple of days, leaving messages with ADFG about the tagging program happening at the Rapids. At the time that they left here, they weren't able to make communication, so my best advice was just to stay on the right side of the river until you reach the research station. I know that there was a sign there a couple of years ago. Also just check in with people at fish camps to see where Stan's Array and research area is so they don't pass it. So I thought that was pretty cool, pretty interesting. Just putting it out there that the Yukon 1000 is an endurance paddling race is starting in July 10th or so. And Whitehorse, the Yukon River Bridge here at Yukon River Camp with a finish line. And it's also been communicated to me that many, or at least a handful of the participants in the race are going to continue their paddling trip down to the river. A couple have also reached out, aware of the notices of the fish runs, and have also asked if they would be able to participate in a sort of community observation program. The best advice that I could provide to them at the time was just to reach out to ADFG. I'm not too sure if that would be helpful to them. And that's all the information I have from the bridge.
Hey, I didn't get your first name there.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Oh, what was your first name again? I'd like to write that down.
Oh, yeah, Jeffrey, J-E-S-S-E-R-Y. Last name is Gronke, G-R-O-E-N-K-E. I'm the camp support and site administrator of Yukon River Camp.
Thank you for your report, Jeffrey.
Yeah, thank you.
Is there any more reports coming from District Y5A and B? Communities of Tanana Rapids, Rampart, and Yukon River Bridge? I'll move on over to District Y5 C and D, communities of Stevens Village, Beaver, Birch Creek, Port Yukon, Chalkeesic, Vinatai, Arctic Village, Circle, and Eagle. Does anybody
Hello,
want
this
to
is Charlie on? Wright from Rampart.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi. I don't got much difference of a report. I'm not in Rampart right now, but my brother is, and he's fishing a 4-inch and says they're catching some round whitefish and mostly catching driftwood. But I just like to say it's wonderful to hear that the Lower River communities get a taste of fish. We're all suffering from lack of our food. You can hear how happy they are, and we're just real happy the opportunity's there. Well, it's good to hear. I just wanted to make that comment and hope the rest of the summer goes well for everybody else, just the same. Thanks for the good news. Well, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you for your report, Charlie. Is there anybody from District Y5 C and D that would like to give a report? That's a long list of communities, that one. And if you are on mute, please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. I'll move over to District Y6, A, B, and C, communities of Manly Hot Springs, Minto, Inanna, and Fairbanks. Is there anybody who would like to give a report from those communities? And please press star 6 to mute and mute your line.
Hi, Mike. This is Olivia from Inanna. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hey, Olivia.
Hey, Mike. Hey, just a short report from Inanna. The water is still a little high, and I know that there is soon, I believe, going to be a group putting in some nets while it's still open for non-salmon. And that's really, I think, all I have to report. The weather has been pretty cloudy, not too much rain the past couple of days. So it's been nice here in the interior, and wishing everybody best of luck on the fishing opportunities that are coming their way. Thanks.
Thank you, Olivia. Is there anybody else who would like to report from District Y6, A, B, C? I'll move on to the Canada communities of Old Crow, Dawson, Whitehorse, Mayo, Pelly Crossing, CarMax and Teslin. Is there anybody who would like to give a report from those communities? Or anybody in Canada? Please press star 6 to meet and unmute your line.
Good day. Can you hear me?
Hello. I can hear you.
Stan Udley from Old Crow in my home. And
hello,
I just finished traveling. Hi, how are you? I just finished traveling. I got on the line late after doing this update and babysitting. And yeah, I just got back from General Assembly, went through Dawson City and Yukon. Yukon River flows right by Dawson. The river's really high there, and further up the river also, all coming through Whitehorse. And I think Water Survey Canada has a lot of information on that. The there's a lot of drift. There's some logs coming down Yukon River and Dawson, and Yukon River, and there's a lot of drift going by in Dawson. So I'm sure it's going to be seeing that further down the river. I'm back home in Old Crow on the Porcupine River, and it's good to hear that the numbers are better than what we expected, and that's good to see right here. And so it's average high in Porcupine here, average high weather, water, and it's raining. I was kind of concerned for the summer being dry and forest fires, but I think it's good so far. And I think I'm hearing Adam say there's 8 fish that went by, and that's a good sign. It's good for Old Crow. That's early. And I think and the water's high, so that means there'll be better quality fish, and hopefully the better quality fish make it to the spawning grounds and produce some more salmon on Rock River, up Porcupine, up Bell River, and Minor River. And I think in that area, and possibly lower fishing branch. So those are the spawning areas for Chinook that we know of. If you look at our history, we have lost corporate knowledge, as the mountain people are not living in the headwaters anymore. And they're so as to where the Chinook spawn, we're still trying to retract that memory again. I think due to all the fish traps historically, we did not, you know, like it's lost that information on those small tributaries, which are, they're not there anymore, so fish traps. So living in Old Crow, 260 people plus other people, members anyway, and so there'll probably be some freshwater fishing. And last year, I think no one was putting nets in the river. And during the salmon run, and I think the First Nation would come up with a management plan to conserve the fish and still try and provide for the community, which is isolated, probably one of the only isolated communities in Yukon that fish for Chinook salmon. So it's different, but the salmon still got to make it to the spawning grounds. So we're supporting that. We have a sonar here in Old Crow, and I think that's doing really well. And they're set up, as Adam would say, a couple of days ago. You know, it's good to see. On the other note, hi to all my friends, and it's good to see the educational exchange community. I'm doing okay. Now, a couple of friends, I'm there, and they're definitely supportive of Sam running their professional life, so, and hopefully that's helpful. And all the help we can get is necessary. So thank you, and have a good day, Mike. Now, unless anybody has any questions, I'll go.
No. Thank you, Stanley, for giving your report from Old Crow, Canada. Is there anybody else from Canada that would like to give a report? Hearing none, I'll switch over to our open discussion. And if anybody would like to discuss anything, please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. seen.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, John.
Hey, thanks. No, I just heard, really curious. I know it's not UConn, but W4 might have a commercial opener there, Martha the Kuskokwim. That's a good sign that, you know, and you've heard from last week's report that probably the last 12 years they've exceeded their escapement goal on the Kuskokwim River, which is a lot different than the Yukon. But the good news is that the numbers seem to be coming as expected from the coast. The, you know, people on the coast who were seeing larger numbers of Chinook and Chum were, it's being reflected in Y1 and 2 right now and at the sonar. So that's good news. Really appreciate it. And it's good to hear my cousin Sandra all real excited about having an opening, you know, for using dip net to get some fresh fish for the table and maybe possibly to smoke. But thank the department for that and really appreciate it. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, John.
Hey, Mike, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Good afternoon. I've been listening to all these conversations that you've been having, and I didn't hear, didn't we have before in the past have reports from Area MR Falls Pass and how about the bycatch for the chum and bycatch for the Chinook salmon? I'm just kind of curious that are we still in the same mode with them, or are they reporting to us, or did they all disappear?
I could bring that up with Serena to contact somebody from Ariam to give a report or.
Thank you.
That's all right with you. Is there anybody else who would like to bring anything up during open discussion? Please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line.
I have a question. This is Jude Ensler. Jim Simon said last week he didn't have a phone number, but he would let us know when he got one. I wonder if he got one.
Jim, would you like to answer that? Jim Sampson? I think he's talking about the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission phone number. You guys are.
I don't remember exactly who said it. Jim, somebody.
Hey, Jim and Simon here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we could.
Yeah, we do not yet have a main landline phone number for our new office location. We are still awaiting the arrival of furniture, et cetera, but we will post that. Jasmine, our communications director, will make sure that that number is available through our social media, and we'll report it on a Yerdfa call when that is set up. But in the meantime, you can contact me at 907-259-4368.
Okay.
Or
thank you.
I can direct you to staff. And if Jasmine is still on, she can provide the communications director phone number, perhaps.
Hi, this is Jasmine. Jasmine Bent, communications director for the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission. I can be reached at 907-799-7898. And the communications email is communications@yriTFC.org. And that's the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission abbreviation.org.
Thank you.
We're still in open discussion.
Hello? Mike, this is Francis Thompson.
Hey, Francis.
Hi. We did host the exchange folks from Canada this weekend. There was a public feed and Eskimo dance thereafter. And they went up to Pilot to go check on the drift net test fishery and the sonar folks there and the distribution of salmon. They came back here and they participated in a family had lost a loved one last year, Saturday. I believe it was a Saturday. And they had a memorial feed, so the crew group had an opportunity to be with the family and participate in the memorial feed and Eskimo dance thereafter. And it looked like they had a lot of fun here and down at Imana. And I noticed that they were all women from Canada in this travel. So, the film crew there was a mix of the film crew, reporters, and the exchange group there. So they were heading home on Sunday, so they should be getting close to getting to be home there. It was fun to be with them. They had fun, and it was good to hear a comment that it looks so beautiful here that one of them said I wish he could stay here a little longer. So message passed on. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Francis. Is there anybody else who would like to give open up a discussion here? Please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line.
Hello?
Hello?
Carl. Carl Sidney from Headwater, Tasman, Yukon.
Hey, Carl.
Yeah, I haven't been a part of this for a few years now, but I thought I'd pop in today and find out how things are going. The water up here is finally starting to drop. I just wanted to say I've been just listening in. I've been actually trying to get in, but this phone is not working the way it's supposed to work. Anyway, that lady that talked about her health and the community after they haven't fished for 5 years, we haven't been able to fish salmon for 30 years. And let me tell you, it's so important to have our salmon in our bodies because that's what we were raised up on. And I totally understand what she means by the community is getting sick from not having salmon. Well, I just have to say, you know, I've been following along for the last 10 years anyway, and I understand that just a week ago alone, there were 21,000 salmon killed from trawlers, from bycatch. And I just have to reiterate and I have to emphasize, we're never going to be able to rebuild the salmon stock unless we do something with the Bering Sea. The bycatch is killing our salmon, and we're never going to be able to rebuild that stock until we do something with Area M, the pollock fishery, the high seas fisheries. There's something has to be done about that. I just have to say that, and I'm happy to hear, Francis. Been a long time since we've seen each other. I just want to also thank Stanley for doing his report. Much appreciated, and I just have to compliment the management in Alaska for closing the fishery and at least trying to rebuild our salmon stock. Good to hear, everybody. Thanks for listening. I wish you all the best. God bless. Thank you.
Mike? Did you call for... Yeah.
Mike Francis. I'd like to say hello to Carl and hi to Stan. I'd sit down with them in many meetings when the treaty process was going through. And like I mentioned earlier, the exchange folks were all women. And next year, Carl and Stan, I hope you guys come down and protect them, because all these men around here were thinking about capturing them. Huh? So, yeah, you better, yeah. So, yeah, it was fun. Thank you. Good to hear you, Carl. Yeah.
Hello? Hello? Hello, this is Daryl Vint. Just wanted to say a couple of comments.
Hey, Daryl.
Yeah, you know, over the years, you know, we've been having a hard time with our subsistence, our traditional and cultural foods. We always brought this subject up to our, you know, our Alaska State Management Federal Subsistence Boards. And we always, you know, wondered why nothing was being done. One interesting fact about this is that, you know, we don't go to areas where I think it would really help our people, because we are being represented by state people, whereas we're not actively focusing on with our fish management. Every time we hear anything, they hear anything down there in Washington, D.C., it's always good for our people up here. That's not actually true, but that's how it's being said to them. For instance, I saw, you know, an advertisement about this guy from Fort Yukon. He was arguing with a state senator, and he did a good job. State senator thought he was, you know, representing the native people, which he actually wasn't. But hey, that's how it works when we don't go down and represent our own selves. This is concerning because, you know, when mining comes around, we're losing our fish because of the heat in the water. It's, you know, it's not documented, but this will happen. You're going to see a lot of, you know, issues that mining does actually pick up in the rivers. We need to try to address these problems. You see what happened with the D1. Everything is being lifted. It's not, everything is turning backwards on us. We're not able to protect our fishing, our hunting, anything that goes on in Alaska here. Our representation down in Washington, D.C. is very limited. We don't give them any information that they should be provided. I went down on a meeting with another, you know, Bering Sea Commission, and they actually looked at us and said, wow, is that true? You know, we're telling them, you know, from our heart, this is how we're being treated up here. I said, that's not what they were being taught. I mean, told when, you know, the representatives came down there. So all this 40-something years we've been arguing with the state, and it hasn't gotten us nowhere, because we weren't being represented right in other areas. So you talk about Area M, Lower 48, everywhere else, those prisons are shut down. Down in Chile, they're actually getting their fish back.
So, you know, we're working in the right direction, but we got to work in the right areas. That's all I'm trying to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl.
Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Yeah, Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, John.
Yeah, this question is for the Department of Fish and Game that Marvin had asked in the beginning. For the last 4 days, I just want to be sure that those Lower Yukon test fish numbers have been accurate and reported to the public. Thank you.
Hi, yeah, thanks for that, John, and also thanks, Marvin, for letting us know about that. We do typically try to update the phones every day, but I think something happened over the weekend and some staff didn't follow through with that, and also the Facebook accounts do usually get updated over the weekends, but that also didn't happen over the weekend. So the numbers were there. They did come in. They are reporting some other public available data packets, but, yeah, our apologies that those phones and Facebook didn't get updated last weekend, and we'll make sure that they get updated daily for here on out. Just sometimes folks get – our staff gets pretty busy on the weekends, and they're not always in the office to take care of those numbers.
True, Mike. Thank you, Dina. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Marvin. Thank you for updating that. And a lot of people rely on Facebook nowadays. Myself included, to check your numbers. It's just, it needs to be done daily, like how it's been doing all season long, except these last 4 days. And I'm glad it was updated today. Thank you very much. We do our part. We do our part as subsistence users, and we expect management to do the same. Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Mike. This is David Walker.
Thank you, Marvin. Hey, David.
Say, you know, last week I attended the meeting, and I never heard. I attended quite a few meetings on Tuesday for quite a few years. Well, you know, sometimes I missed, but last week I never heard so much controversy about Area M and trawlers. You know, now that we see a little daylight, I hope that all the entities, fish commissioners and the Federal Subsistence Board, and keep the pressure on these other areas. I used to be on your Yukon River panel a couple of years, and, you know, there was all these ideas about restoration, and I got kind of frustrated because nothing was ever mentioned about the real problems with the trawlers and Area M. You know, it's just like, what's the use of having these restoration project, spending a lot of money on them, and so I just want to express that the whole river need to keep pressure, keep the momentum going on our fish in the Bering Sea and through Falls Pass. I think that's where we'll get real results if we keep pressure on them. I know my dad, for one, for years ago, he predicted this, that they knew that most of our fish came through Falls Pass, and that's a very narrow channel there. So thank you for all the hard work, everyone, but we just got to keep the momentum going, like I said. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And again, I'll bring it up with Serena to invite somebody from Area M to give a report here on this teleconference in the future. Is there anybody else in the communities that want to bring up anything during the open discussion?
Hey, Mark, this is Robert again.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, thanks. Is Holly still on?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Holly. Good afternoon. Robert Walker. The question is that I have is that how many more years can the Yukon withstand the pressure from the Bering Sea, like this was brought up? I'm just glad somebody else brought it up. But when you look at the Chinook salmon, how many years does the federal government, Fish and Wildlife, or the state of Alaska Department of Fish and Game would give the Chinook salmon before they're extinct? 5 years, 4 years, 3 years? Do you have an answer for that, Holly, or anybody else at ADF&G? Thank you. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, this is Holly at Fish and Wildlife Service. Robert, that's a great question. I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find anyone that has that answer for you. When it comes to our king salmon, you know, it's a 6 or 7 year life cycle, and we've already seen that we've been in a depressed life cycle of really low productivity for well over a decade now. These very low runs where we're failing to meet goals by really large margins, those give us real concern for the long-term future, but I don't think any one scientist could predict how many life cycles it'll take to extinguish them. And I actually have hope, you know, that if we give them time and we stand down on fishing and if they can make it to the spawning grounds in sufficient numbers and actually spawn before they die, I think we can have still some hope for our Yukon king runs. You know, we're already seeing this year's king run is a lot better than it has been the last few years. I mean, we probably won't meet goals, but we are seeing kind of higher daily passages, like kind of more like we used to see. So to me, that's very promising. I'm not ready to extinguish hope just yet. Sorry, that's not a more definitive answer, but I truly don't know how anyone could predict an extinction situation. What I do also want to say is that salmon are super resilient, and they bounce back in ways that we're not expecting, and they certainly can crash in ways that we're not expecting, and we've seen both of those things in the last 20 years. So I would say hang in there.
Yes. Okay, hello? Mike, do you have another question, Mike? Robert?
Go ahead, Robert.
Okay. The second part of this is when you look at the Yukon River, we've been put on a 7-year moratorium. I mean, say Charlie Lang, the fish commissioner, says that we have to sacrifice so the Cajuns can get salmon. And I heard that young man talking up there. They haven't had fish in so many years. Well, so have we. But it's not us that's doing this. It's the high seas. And you look at all these Area M or Falls Pass, all of their fishing gear is twice as normal, not normal gear. It's twice as big. Their boats are bigger, and they're catching the 2 and 3 and 4 and 5-year-old and toss them overboard because they can't sell them. And we have to give up our way of life. And it's like the elder lady at Russian Mission. People on the Yukon are suffering from health problems. These are issues that you people don't look at. We see it because we live here. We lived here 10,000 years or longer. That fish has been something for us for years, because when you see fish oil on the market, you know somebody have found out something that we always had to ensure that our lives were longer. People used to live to be 100 years old on the Yukon. Now you're looking at the average of 70. How much has that depleted? That's just almost like euthanizing the tribes. And that's sad. The AYK region, we're suffering. You go to board a fish, you can't win because subsistence doesn't have money to have dark money to pay people. And all the dark money is going to representatives that don't care anymore about the rural people, but they want our vote. And this is a question where, how far is this going to last? This ain't going to last forever. At the rate this is going, I bet you 5 years there ain't going to be one Chinook salmon left at the expense of how, it's already been 5 years for us. And Charlie Lang puts, add seven more to that. So that'll be 12 years. So I just really feel that all these elder people on the Yukon are just not being treated fairly, almost like we are invisible people or something. But this is racist, I think, toward indigenous people, our way of life. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
Mike, this is Marvin.
Hey, Marvin.
Am I being heard?
All right.
Hello? Hello, I've been trying to talk, and I just keep getting run over. But I brought this forward 30 years ago, you know, from the headwater. We've seen this happening. And my prediction is, at this rate, another 10 years, we're not going to have any more Chinook salmon. I stress again, if nothing is being done in the Bering Sea, and with the politicians over in Alaska and down in Lower 48, we're going to kill this Chinook salmon runoff. You know, and it's all about money. All the board and commissions set up in Alaska are all set up by rich people, business people. The grassroots people are not being heard. And it's about time that we start voicing our to the governors and to all the politicians. I know we're never going to get anywhere with Donald Trump, but that's what's going to happen. In 10 years, there's not going to be any more Chinook salmon.
Thank you for that, Carl.
Mike?
Yeah, let's go with Marvin. He
brought, Francis.
Okay, Francis.
Hey, thank you, Mike.
If I may...
While
we're on this topic,
okay.
What needs to be done and for us to push for, since Area M is a topic for discussion here, and what we need to push for in unison and in the next board cycle, the need for stock identification in this fishery. When you ask their Fish and Game Department what's going on there, they kind of seem like they don't know too much or about stock identification and things like that. When we were at the board meeting over there and listening to their department giving a report, a lot of things I don't know, we don't know, and we would like to find out, and we need to do study this and study that. I told them they had 50 years to figure out what's going on with this fishery here. There's no stock identification, and I told that fish and game guy that he's on my watch list, and he's going to be a topic for discussion with me in the next board cycle. So I think what we need to do is, you know, together, request that stock identification be done in the Endership fishery, because they don't have no salmon that they can call their own for their, maybe a few, but, few places, but, the majority of the chum and other species they catch are, going to AYK area. So we need to really push for stock identification in this fishery. And how we do that, we have 3 years to discuss how we can do that. If it's going to be a form of a proposal, then we need to start thinking about that now.
Thank you, Francis. You could go ahead, Marvin. I know you wanted to speak before.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike. I respect my elders and let them go first. Robert hit the nail on the head with what he said.
than Fran Thompson and Carl upriver. It's just the Yukon has done its part the last 40 years. Now, Fish and Game needs to do their part with area and fisheries, all the intercept fisheries along the way. Our federal government, the federal Fish and Wildlife, they need to do something about the Bering Sea. We've sacrificed our way for our way of life here on the Yukon. It's very disturbing to see the whole Yukon River suffer a cultural genocide, just as many American Indians did when Christopher Columbus came along and brought the European settlers along. You see history of millions of bison skulls gathered and piled up. That's a total genocide of the Indian culture. And it's happening here with our salmon in Alaska, on the Yukon River, Kuskokwim River, Norton Sound. The locals know what's going on. Like, we live this life and we know what's going on. It's we've never been the problem. We only took what we needed to survive. Besides the commercial fishery that happened all along. But most of the escape numbers were always met during that time. The 50 years that I remember growing up. Well, less than that now that we haven't commercial fished the last 7 years. So thank you. And just Fish and Game and Federal Subsistence Fish and Wildlife need to take a step back and listen and really comprehend what we're trying to say here. As we've all said in every meeting prior to this, in the Board of Fish meetings we've attended, many of us have attended, Federal Subsistence Board and those that attended NIMPS meetings. It's just we've done our part and you guys need to do your part on what we're asking before it is too late. Thank you.
Thank you, Marvin. Is there anybody else who would like to speak during the open discussion? Press star 6 to unmute and unmute your line.
Good day. Stan Julie Sr. from O'Connell Co. Can you hear me?
You Stanley? Yes, I can hear you, Stanley.
Okay. Okay, good. You know, like all in all, as a human race, we found more ways to manipulate salmon and animals out of their life than we've ever done in the last 1,000 years. Every possible way to manipulate, you know, living wild species or their existence, we found a way to do that as a human race. And seems like that's not going to stop. But I think some of the founding regulations and founding laws in terms of how you manage wildlife and what you're going to do with the species, there's scientific research, there's research that's happening. I would say if we look at responsibility, I think along the river, we have some responsibilities too. And I think if we looked at the commercial fishing, all the villages, including mine, along the river, I think we are partly responsible for that devastation of that fish also, so of the salmon. And I think we have some also responsibility to look at how we're going to enhance that fishery to bring it back. I think we're in position here as a self-government First Nation to look at how we can do research and how we can look at enhancement. If we want to bring salmon to the I stage, and then put them in their spawning grounds and then release them once they get to the eye stage. Then from there, it's natural. The understanding of that is a little more complex because people need to be educated. What does that really mean? And what is that really going to do? So it's not artificial. It's not hatchery. It's not that. It's just bringing them to the eye stage. And then from there, they can make it on their own. But the other part is the freshwater fishery. And if you know the freshwater fish in the river,
the Inkanoo, the Losh, or Lincott, or Pike, they all eat a lot of small fry, salmon fry is coming, are in stream for the first year and the second year. So, and there's nothing been done about that. And research-wise, very little, because the departments want to separate the freshwater fish from the salmon species in terms of how they do research. And I think there's that impact. So it's definitely looking at the survival of the juveniles and the fries from the salmon and look at that research in that area and in the riparian streams and different areas along the river. I think, finding ways to look at how we can be innovative to support getting salmon on the spawning grounds, I think that's more direction we should be heading. It's in line with some philosophies and analogy, the fact that when there's a wall, it's not a defeat, it's a challenge. So, let's find a way over. The other part is, in the high seas fisheries, what's happening there in Area M, the effort that we could make, and we did make some efforts, and we made some noise, and their proposal put forward, and it was shut down. So so it's out there. We have the notices out there that, we're on our way to do something about that. And the challenge is a $1 billion industry that we're up against in terms of the pollock fishery. So, not to oppose them, but to look at how we can maintain the Yukon River Chinook and protect the pathway right from the spawning to the ocean and back to the spawning grounds. So how do we do that? It's probably the more smart approach in dealing with this, and we got to educate ourselves in that way. So anyway, I just want to say that. Thank you for the calls and the interest and the input. And I guess we're here because we know it's our life and what else we're going to do. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you for that, Stanley.
Stan Ross.
Yes, Stan.
Yes, I'm just kind of concerned. I haven't really heard any mention on what the Attorney General's decision not approving the Board of Fish's decision on restricting false passing Area M. Is there any word on that? Thank you.
Would anybody like to answer that? Please press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. Anybody else for open discussion? Hearing none, I'd like to thank everyone for being respectful. And also to the Department of Fish and Game, also U.S. Fish and Wildlife for being on the call. I'd like to wish everybody a happy 4th of July. It's going to be the 250th birthday of America. And I'd like to wish everyone on the lower Yukon happy fishing. And thank you very much. Have a good week.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, everyone. Be safe out there.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Everybody else, too.
Thank you, Stanislaus.
Thanks, Mike. We'll pass the message on to release, so they could make it to the spawning stream. Thank you.
Thank you, Francis.